Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 2, we were talking about the ways that Satan attempts to take Christians captive. Let's continue with that lesson today.
Plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
If we followed philosophy from the early ages, we would find one common thread among most philosophers. They do not hold a high view of the inspiration of Scripture. They all look for solutions to the problems of life outside the Word of God. Now, there are some that call themselves Christian, and they look for solutions in addition to the Word of God. Now, the word philosophy comes from a Greek word, philosophia, and originally it had a good connotation. It meant the love of wisdom. Now, there are Bible schools that have relaxed their standards in both conduct and doctrine over the last 20 years. And people who attended those schools before think, man, that's a great school. But they don't know what's happened since they've been there. And although they mean it for good, it's bad now. Philosophy may have good intentions, but my friend, so often its results are disastrous. Now, by Paul's day, and in the way Paul uses the word, it is the idea of vain speculation. Now, too often people get wrapped up with the latest in psychology and philosophy, and they become obsessed with it. And they overlook obvious discrepancies, especially as they are different from the Word of God. In my early 20s, I knew a businessman. He was very shady in his business. He had some questionable things that he would say in conversation. But you know, the guy would lay preach. And he gave money to the church where I was attending at that time. And he did things for the church. And so I overlooked many things, excused things, because of his church involvement and his preaching. That same man later did time in prison. And you see, I allowed one thing to cloud my mind. Be careful of philosophies and people that get us off on tangents, and we overlook the obvious and the various discrepancies that are there, and we excuse things. Many people today are excusing ecumenicalism, and yet the Bible teaches that there will be a one-world religion of the last days, and God calls it a harlot. And my friend, those are strong words, but that's the way God calls it. And a part of ecumenicalism says, forget the doctrines that make us different, and let's just unify. And yet one of the prophecies in 2 Timothy chapter 4 says that in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine, but rather they adhere to themselves teachers having itching ears. And oh, that's what we want today. We want feelings. And so he's telling us, in a sense, this idea, this desire for feelings and this desire of philosophy and psychology and all of these things are one of the ways that Satan seeks to spoil you. Be warned that in the last days, one area is through philosophy. Now understand, the local church was ordained by God, as was government and marriage. The Gnostics, which was a system of thought, they got in and started to draw away people from the work of the local church and into their own ways. Now let's think about that. What is the mission of the local church as we see it from the Word of God? Well, first of all, is to evangelize your own community. as Jesus told the disciples, beginning in Jerusalem. And then you send the gospel around the world, giving to missions if you're not called to be the missionary. Paul commended the church at Philippi for its giving unto missions, as well as the church at Corinth. And we want to send missionaries around the world. And that is a work and a duty and a responsibility of the local church, and to make sure that the missionaries we're sending are godly men, and they're doing the work. That's why every church should know its missionaries, should know their doctrinal stand, not just give to a big pot that says, we'll decide which missionaries these things go to, but rather know their missionaries. And then we're to pray together. We're to teach and to preach the Word of God, to edify the believers in Christ. We're to fellowship one with another in Christ. That is the goal, the mission of the local church. Now, so often, churches feel like they have to have new emphasis, or they have to have a new goal every year, something different so they don't get monotonous. Well, the Lord blesses those that endure. And God has given us a goal: evangelize, edify, and send the gospel around the world. And He just needs to come back and find us faithful. Organizations will rise up. And you'll notice that they so often desire to funnel people into their things, but they seem to take them out of the Bible-believing church. These groups will stand against tithing to God or the God-ordained local church. And they will begin to relax doctrinal standards under the guise of, well, we're reaching lost souls. And godliness, as well as holiness and repentance, suddenly become strangely undefined. Their meetings will be emphasized to the point, if your church is having a revival and they're having a meeting, you ought to be in their meetings. And their mission will be subtly emphasized as being more important than the local church. And it will undermine your church with statements, well, they don't need to do that. Or they'll say things like, well, those are some dumb standards. They should not do this. Well, the problem is they just don't love. And many like statements. And they'll speak angrily if your church doesn't follow their programs and agendas. Now, I'm not against outside ministries as radio and youth and military ministries. But understand, and this radio ministry, the Lamp and Light broadcast, is secondary to the local church. And I say that on the authority of God's Word. So often these ministries will get people so obsessed that they won't miss their meetings or rallies, but they can miss Wednesday nights, they can miss Sunday night, they can miss visitation time, and not be feel like it's so bad. But if the pastor says, we're not going to go to their special to-do, or he won't announce it, then those people begin to cause a ruckus. And what I'm trying to say is, this is a vain philosophy that leads you from God's ordained method of the local church for this age. My friend, any ministry that exalts itself over the local church, tells you, no, your tithe does not belong to the local church. A ministry that tells you not to give to the local church or to its ministries, go to its ministries and put off going to the revival meeting at your church. My friend, that ministry is not of God. That is something that Satan has corrupted. And you see, that's the deceit of it, because it seems so good. And the people involved will seem so good. But my friend, we must compare spiritual things to spiritual. We need to compare scriptures and let the Word of God be the final authority. I was told of one commentator recently who stated that the church was for fellowship only, and there wasn't really a scriptural basis for church services. Well, that's a dangerous philosophy, and a person like that needs to read Acts chapter 2 as well as the rest of the New Testament. The next area, besides philosophy, that the devil tries to attack and we need to beware, is vain deceit. Deceit in that it is not a temptation as perhaps adultery or drunkenness or thievery. The word vain here, as it appears here in our text, is defined as hollow. empty, puffed up. Now, the Gnostics felt they were the people. They felt that their spiritual knowledge was a super spiritual knowledge. But 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, Paul says, "Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity, that is God's love, edifieth." Now we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road. The Gnostics gave Christ an eminent place, but not preeminent. An outside ministry that does not direct converts to the local church, or does not build faithfulness first to the local church in the converts, has vainly deceived you, regardless of how religiously high-sounding that ministry may be. The warning is that you're not taken in by those and living a life of commitment to that which will not bring eternal rewards for Christians. Now, we see in verse 8 of Colossians 2 a third way in which these men are attacked by Satan, the Christians are attacked by Satan. He said, after the traditions of men. Remember, Jesus Christ condemned the religious rulers of the day who taught the tradition of men rather than the word of God. There is a vast difference between human reason and divine revelation. Now again, the last days, the Bible lets us know, Satan's tactic is to take us from sound doctrine and point us towards sensual things, things that really have feelings involved with it. Today we talk about family values, and that sounds good. And then we place it within the realm of morality, psychology, and counseling, instead of putting it in the realm of commitment to Christ, holiness, and righteousness. And before too long, what this does, this gets us to lean on men's religious philosophies, and we begin following their cute little steps. It's all right that we walk with those in doctrinal error, or if they're unsaved, as long as you understand that this is for the good of the family. Well, my friend, whenever they say to forget those doctrines that make us different, you're headed for vain deceit and the tradition of men, and you know it's the last days. Now, with men and women's ministries and other movements that follow even fundamental churches, fundamental Bible-believing Christians, they are vainly deceived by the philosophies of these groups. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, it says, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, there are many things out there that really look good. They're new, and they look great. Well, we're living in the last days, my friend. The devil, if he's going to deceive you, is not going to put something out there that doesn't look good, that doesn't look right. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation for the Bible. sense.